It's been a week of debates, the endless news cycles, the predictions. Tomorrow, the Iowa caucuses. Next week, the New Hampshire primaries. And lo and behold, 1 year from now, our nation will be gathered on the steps of the Capitol building to witness and the swearing-in of a new president for another 4 years of office. Following that ceremony, she will, or he will, inspire us with some words. They will inspire some and no doubt disappoint others. It's called an inaugural address. It's the practice that stretches back to the time of George Washington. Unlike some speeches, Washington's was brief. It was to the point. That's not all that common these days. And with all inaugural addresses, his began to chart a course, the course that his administration tried to take in the years that followed. As Marty reminded us last week, the gospel that we heard last week and this week capture exactly that moment in time. In Luke's recounting of Jesus' life, this is the inaugural, this is his keynote, this is the beginning of his ministry, the moment in which everything that is to come begins to take shape. That's the meaning of the words we heard today. This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Having been baptized by John, Jesus is now ready to begin. From the wilderness, he returns to his hometown of Nazareth, where on the Sabbath he goes to the synagogue. He stands up to read the scroll that contains the writing of Isaiah, and unrolling, reads to those assembled, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, sits down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." These words are in Luke's telling, the inaugural address. These words give voice to everything that's about to happen. They give voice to the story of Jesus' life. They describe the reason that Jesus was born. They describe his destiny as well. And lest we miss it, they are calling for nothing short of social upheaval. That's why we hear this morning's gospel that the synagogue was filled with rage. And they get up and try to drive him out of town, to lead him to the brow of a hill that they might hurl him off the cliff. Good news to the poor. Release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. All of these mark the new reign of God that Jesus is announcing at this very moment. And perhaps most significant are the words that then follow. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That phrase, the year of the Lord's favor, refers to the Jubilee year, the year mandated in the book of Leviticus. The Jubilee year was commanded to occur once every 50 years. In the Jubilee year, those who had been sold into slavery because of poverty are set free. Land that had been leased or sold because of poverty was returned to its original owners. All debts are erased. The land was given rest from planting. Listen to that. The concept of a jubilee year is nothing short of revolutionary. It's a year when all financial and social clocks get set back to midnight. It's a complete reversal of the fortune for the poor. It's a redistribution of wealth unlike anything conceived in our life. The playing field is completely leveled. Financial pyramids flattened. With a single stroke, all are made equal before God. When Jesus recalls the ancient mandate of the Jubilee, he announces that all's been forgiven. We've all been set back to square one together. We've all been given a get out of jail card, you could say. There's nothing that can or will be held against us. It's the good news. All of us accepted by God equally. All of us loved equally. And there's more than that. For not only are sins forgiven, but it's got real world implications. Because Jubilee is not a metaphor. You might recall the word economics comes from the Greek. It's from the Greek word household management. The Jubilee is a reminder that God's household management has real implications. It's got substantive economic implications. The Jubilee is a roadmap that leads to the kingdom of God. Not just some spiritual reality, God's kingdom, God's reign, is a very concrete manifestation of living in justice and peace. Because the Jubilee really is about forgiveness, and not just sin forgiveness, but real honest to God forgiveness of debt, Jubilee is about the reversal of fortune. The playing field really does get leveled. Good news is literally preached to the poor. Captives are literally set free. Sight really returns to the blind. And all of these things are signs of God's kingdom, God's reign, God's household, God's economics. And all of this, forgiveness, spiritual and physical, all of this is the mission we now share. Today, following the service, we'll gather for our annual meeting, a time when we are to take stock of where we've been and consider the path of where we're going. This annual meeting finds us on the eve of our Jubilee year, our 150th. And we gather in a time when a lot of churches are struggling. And although it may not always seem like it, Emmanuel is in much better shape than most mainline churches. It doesn't mean we are without concern about budget and facilities and seats, so to speak, in the pew. But I know that when we get focused only on budgets and buildings and seats in the pews, we can get wayward. We can lose our way. The closer the wagons get circled, the more it looks like water drowning down a drain. So I want to remind you, ultimately, we are not here to balance a budget. Budgets and buildings only exist in service of mission. And our mission as we approach a time when we're going to actually enter our fourth Jubilee year of ministry is about as clear as it can be. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We have been anointed to bring good news to the poor. We have been sent to proclaim the release of captives. We have been sent to give recovery of sight to the blind. Ours is the responsibility of setting the oppressed free, and we are the ones who will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Ours is a jubilee mission. Ours is the task of the ongoing work of Jesus to level the playing field, to reach out and take hold of hands of those who desperately need both love and loaves. That's the work that's begun here 150 years ago. It's the work that has been continued in this place from generation to generation. And now that work falls on us to do. Don't forget the mission. Don't let your vision get clouded by anxiety. Don't lose sight of the goal to which you're called. Yes, of course, there'll be business to do to make the railroad run. But the rail only exists so that we can get from point A to point B. And in this particular case, point B is nothing less than the kingdom of God. Amen.